you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everybody had a bloody good weekend. You know, after Friday's show, when I was talking about the court case in New Jersey with three jackass punk kids that evidently one of them's father is an attorney, and they brought a suit because they got kicked out of a minor league ball game for not standing up during God Bless America. I got plenty of email on that. Anywhere from, wow, you know, you really stand up for people's rights on your show, and why aren't you standing up for their rights on this one? I totally disagree with you, too. You're absolutely right. Parents don't know how to raise their kids, and those jackass kids got what they deserved. And the lawsuit's a bunch of BS. Well, with that, it's kind of coincidental. I got an email with a sound file that, of course, the email says that this is a real recording from a real school in Australia. However, once you listen to it, you realize that's probably not the case. But listen to this. It's very interesting.
Hello, you have reached the automated answering service of your school. In order to assist you in connecting to the right staff member, please listen to all the options before making a selection. To lie about why your child is absent, press 1. To make excuses for why your child did not do his homework, press 2. To complain about what we do, press 3. To swear at staff members, press 4. To ask why you didn't get information that has already been enclosed in your newsletter and several flyers that have been mailed to you, press 5. If you want us to raise your child, press 6. If you want to reach out and touch, slap, or hit someone, press 7. To request another teacher for the third time this year, press 8. To complain about bus transportation, press 9. To complain about school lunches, press 0. If you realize this is the real world and your child must be accountable and responsible for his or her own behavior, classwork, and homework, and that it's not the teacher's fault for your child's lack of effort, hang up and have a nice day. If you want this in another language, move to a country that speaks it. Thank you for your interest in public education.
Couldn't say it better myself. I love it. Now, for those of you who disagree with me on Friday's show regarding this this group of teens and the father of one that's basically putting them at risk for filing this stupid lawsuit, I've got to say I respect your opinion. I respect that you've got an opinion. The opinion itself is really certainly not mine. It's contrary. But to be able to have an intelligent dialogue about it, where I believe obviously what I do, and you believe the opposite essentially, is one of the things that makes this country great. Is that we can have such opposite opinions. I still believe that if the kids had been raised properly, they would have stood their asses up. They're 16 and 17. They weren't exercising any kind of a right. What they were doing was sitting on their asses because they wanted to be lazy, and nobody in their parental roles ever showed them how to be respectful, never showed them anything about being patriotic. To them, 9/11 is ancient history because these kids were in their single digits when 9/11 happened. They don't remember the patriotism. It certainly didn't mean anything to them, all right? So for those of us who really understand that 9/11 is recent history, those who are only 16 or 17 years old, I mean, they were 8, 9 years old when it happened. To them, again, it was ancient history in comparison. More coming up for the rest of the show. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
So everyone may have heard a story. Last Thursday in Spokane, Washington, they took 11 staff members, took 33 mental patients to the county fair. And one of those mental patients, a convicted murderer, escaped. And he was gone. They finally captured him yesterday. So here's some information about the arrest. The guy's name is Philip Paul. This was received, yesterday evening. According to Sergeant Bill Beeman, he and Detectives Roger Knight and Mark Rentz were driving along the Glendale-Bickleton Highway in Washington State, where they spotted a man walking out of the trees towards the roadway. They had previous information that Paul had picked up a guitar, sleeping bag, and leather jacket from a friend after he escaped the Spokane Interstate Fair on Thursday. The man they saw leaving the timber was carrying a guitar. The three men were in an undercover van with tinted windows. They were able to drive right up to the suspect without him becoming alarmed. The three jumped out of their with their service pistols drawn and ordered Paul to the ground. He stated that he was done and complied with their commands. Beeman said he suspected that the suspect, had a hand synth protruding from his backpack at the time of arrest, but made no move to threaten detectives with it. Coincidentally, within minutes of the arrest, Paul's brother drove up on the detectives. They stopped him and asked him if he could tell them where they were so he could alert other searchers that they had Paul in custody. They later learned that a Washington State patrol was flying overhead at the time of the arrest and that the arrest may have been captured on aerial video. Beeman said Paul had dumped a friend in Spokane into driving him, to Glendale to meet with his parents. For months, he had been saying that he was going to be released from the mental hospital, and on Thursday, the friend arrived home without having seen the newscast regarding the escape. Thinking Paul's release had finally occurred, he gave the suspect the guitar and sleeping bag and drove him out of town. When he learned of the escape Saturday, he contacted detectives and went back with them to the point where he had dropped off the suspect. That information led to Paul's arrest at about 4:05 p.m. Sunday. Paul was committed to Eastern State Hospital after admitting he strangled and slit the throat of community activist Ruth Motley in 1987. According to court documents obtained, Paul believed Motley was a witch and killed her in response to voices in his head. He subsequently burned a deer carcass as a sacrifice, according to documents. The extent of Paul's illness was disturbing even to mental health professionals. He's the only paranoid schizophrenic, I've seen hundreds, maybe thousands of them, that frightened me, said Dr. Hank Hardy, a licensed psychiatrist, said in one of the documents. The first time I took one look at him, and I've done this many times before or since, I asked the jailer to remain in the room while I examined him. I believed he would respond to his delusions and his voices again if released, Hardy wrote. So this guy is one of the guys that they decided to take to this fair. Of course, he got away. Something tells me that the field trips here are going to be done with. It reminds me of the outing on One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest. You're taking a convicted schizophrenic murderer out and about to enjoy things. What are you thinking? I mean, literally, what the hell are you thinking? If the guy wasn't locked up in a loony bin, he'd be locked up in a prison. Now, locked up is locked up. We don't give furloughs to convicted murderers that also take and burn deer carcasses and sacrifice. I don't quite understand why this would go on. Something tells me it's the last time it's going to go on, at least out of this hospital, and at least for a decade or two. Now, thankfully, nothing happened. We don't know of any crimes that were committed after this, between the time the guy escaped and the time that he was captured. But what a perfect thing to realize. This is a reason for people to be armed. Now, I want to take this and segue into something with the Brady campaign. The Brady campaign The Brady campaign to take away all your guns, I think, is the new name of it. They're really starting to lose ground. So they need a boost. And what they've done is they've put out some different bumper stickers, buttons, things like that. So here is one. Here's a button that will show you the power. It'll just demonstrate your power of conviction. And what it says is, I'm defenseless and proud of it. I'm defenseless and proud of it. This is exactly something that the Brady campaign could put out there to boost their anti-gun measures. How about this one that they could put out? I have no guns. I'm safer than you are. Yeah. How about another one? I defend myself with my wits and gill. And gun-free zone, not even a BB gun. You could put that right on your door. Or even stick it out as a yard sign. Okay, so you can imagine, here's the Brady campaign. Of course, you've got the Violence Policy Center, which is in the same group. You've got the Mayors Against Illegal Guns, same group. All these anti-gun groups. But when you've got an escaped, insane, convict, murderer, on the loose, and you don't have a gun to protect yourself, what are you supposed to do? Not only do you not have a gun, even if you do have a gun, do you have the training to protect yourself? Because a gun itself is not going to get up on command. Get up, load yourself, and shoot him. It just doesn't work that way. You've got to be trained. It really drives me up the wall when I see different individuals and groups saying how terrible guns are and how we should abolish guns. And that's a wonderful theory, not actually knowing what the entire score is. The entire score is there's guns out there. Lots and lots and lots. Millions of good guys have guns. And there are hundreds of thousands probably of bad guys that have guns. At least tens of thousands across the country of bad guys that have guns. And when the millions, tens of millions of good guys that have guns are told you can't have guns anymore, when everybody is told you can't have guns anymore, and the honest law-abiding say, okay, fine, we'll give up our guns. I should say the honest, unlawful abiding, because that would be illegal. They give up their guns. Only the bad guys who have their guns, that got their guns illegally, that hold their guns illegally now anyhow, and use their guns in illegal ways, they're the ones who are going to keep the guns. All right. An interesting thing that you can look at when it comes to that, a little statistic, is in England, in London, the British bobbies, as it were, it used to be that only very, very select groups, like essentially their SWAT-type groups, ever had guns. Now more and more of the, the members of the British police carry guns. And it's becoming a much more regular thing. However, guns have essentially been outlawed. Certainly handguns have been outlawed in that country for years. Why is it if there's less guns out there, there are no guns really allowed in the country, why is it that the British bobbies of police there are arming up more and more? Because the bad guys have the guns. They didn't give them up. And stabbings are way up, way up. So how do you defend against a knife? You bring a gun. How do you defend against a gun? You bring a bigger gun and a bunch of friends with bigger guns. You always need to be one step above your attacker. So a lot more British officers are carrying guns nowadays. It's not because the society's polite, because they need them so that they don't get hurt. So if the cops there are allowed to carry guns, why aren't the citizens? The citizens really have no right to self-protection. They really don't. If that were the case here in the U.S., I would venture to say that going along with this whole thing from Friday, the thing dealing with the parenting or lack thereof, that there would be unbelievable amounts of violent crime going on in this country. They said private citizens aren't allowed to have guns anymore. Or private citizens aren't allowed to use guns to defend themselves anymore. or even one step further like they do in England, you really have no right to self-protection. Now, I see the right to self-protection as a God-given right, not something that's created through some document or law. That's a God-given right. If I'm ever in England, in Great Britain, and I get attacked, I flat guarantee I'll defend myself. And if they say, oh, you don't have any right to defend yourself, well, you weren't there to do it. Who's responsible for my safety? If you weren't there to do it, and I defended myself, and this guy's done now, he's toast, or he's beat up, or he's, you know, in some ambulatory condition, I'm not going to feel bad about it. Are they going to try to tell me that I did the wrong thing? Just be aware of that. That's the sort of thing that would be coming if the anti-gunners would have their way. The Brady campaign to steal all your guns, Violence Policy Center who's dedicated to taking all your guns, Mayors Against Citizens with Guns. Speaking of which, we have a little bit of a story coming up for you in the next segment about the mayor in Seattle, who is a lame duck mayor. I mean, this guy's a big anti-gun guy, and he had a lot of anti-gun rhetoric coming out since this last mayor, June. And that cost him his bid to be reelected. He was actually dismissed in the primary, came in third. So I've got a little bit of story coming up dealing with him after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
So coming out of Seattle, what we've got is we've got a mayor by the name of Greg Nichols. And last summer, this past summer, he started trying to really initiate a lot of anti-gun measures around the city. The state of Washington, for the past 25 years or so, has had a preemption law that says, here's the state law, and no cities, counties, municipalities can make gun laws more restrictive than the state law. It's just the way it is. So the mayor of Seattle, who is huge anti-gun, has been trying to do just those things. Even though the attorney general from the state of Washington has let him know in no uncertain terms, any such actions would be illegal and in violation of the state law. So he can't legally do that. Well, all of this culminated into the primary election just a few weeks ago, he was running for re-election. And he got such bad press, and people looked at him like he was nuts, that in the primary, running for re-election, he finished third. Only the top two vote-getters actually get to move on. So he's lame duck. So here's a little story written out of the Second Amendment Foundation, which happens to be based in the state of Washington. Second Amendment Foundation renewed its pledge to sue Seattle Mayor Greg Nichols if he pushes through a proposed rule that would ban legally carried firearms in city parks and recreation department facilities. The proposed rule change was announced Friday morning, just 3 days ago. Second Amendment founder Alan Gottlieb quickly noted that this rule would violate Washington State's long-standing firearms preemption statute, first adopted more than 25 years ago. That law has become a model for similar state laws all over the country. As a matter of fact, including here in my home state of Nevada. This must be Greg Nichols' desperate parting shot at gun owners, who worked hard to make sure he did not survive the primary election last month, said Gottlieb. He has already been advised by Attorney General Rob McKenna's office that he has no authority to impose gun laws that are more restrictive than state statute. And under state statute, private citizens may legally carry concealed guns on public property if they're licensed to do so. Public property does not belong to Mayor Nichols, he added. It belongs to the people. If this rule is adopted, Gottlieb said, it is our intent to immediately file a lawsuit against the city with our sister organization, the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, I guarantee there will be lots of people lining up to become plaintiffs. Nichols came in third in last month's primary, effectively ending his reign in the mayor's office. He has been threatening to ban guns on all city property since June of last year. Evidently, Gottlieb stated, the mayor wants to be a two-time loser, once at the ballot box and once in the courtroom. Okay, so I'm mistaken. I thought it was June of this year. Now, so we're talking well over here, 15, 16 months of trying to do all these sorts of things. You know, now that I reflect on it, I've actually read a few stories about this guy Nichols before June. So, my mistake. So, it's been a 15, 16 months, again, where this guy, Greg Nichols, has been trying to ban guns around the city. And what he's trying to do is not do it through the city council, through some sort of referendum or municipal statute. He's trying to do it under some form of executive order. Now, the president of the United States has the power of executive order, first introduced by Abraham Lincoln, if memory serves correct. So for some reason or another, governors of states and mayors of cities believe that they, too, have some form of executive order authority. When in fact the mayor and most cities of the country, the mayor sits as the head of the city council and really the mouthpiece for the city, directing some of the city departments, if you will. Do they have the power of executive authority when it comes to passing what would otherwise be a law that couldn't get passed through the city council? I think not. I think not on all cases. Mayors cannot just simply start being dictators. Now, the Supreme Court has ruled that there are certain limitations within executive orders. My belief, one of the limitations of executive orders are they should be considered illegal. If the president doesn't have the authority authorized to him, the power authorized to him within the Constitution, and decides without any sort of public or legal referendum that they have the authority to do executive orders, that seems against the Constitution, seems unconstitutional to me that that could even be done. However, it's been allowed. Supreme Court ruled on it, said there's certain areas where you can do it, certain areas where you can't. Well, pity to the Supreme Court for ever having ruled on that, rather than saying, you can't do that. Mr. President, you have enough authority as it is. Anyhow, for this mayor, Greg Nichols, to try and pull the same sort of shenanigans is just a very, very, very sad end to a very, very sad existence in the great city of Seattle. Seattle's a wonderful town. I was born in Seattle. I started growing up just outside of Seattle, one of the suburbs. Great city. And now we've got this knucklehead in there that's not only already tarnished his name, he wants to really seal his poor name in stone by doing something stupid like this. Stay tuned. More coming at you right here. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. I'm in the process of pulling up an email regarding Friday's show, just because I got a lot of email on it. I'll get to that later. I'm going to get on to something else right now. The D.C. Circuit heard this last Friday a Fourth Amendment case based on a Second Amendment case. So a federal appeals court in D.C., they heard arguments this last Friday on this case, which united literally civil libertarians and gun rights advocates against the District of Columbia. So this is rather interesting. What's happened here? At issue before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit was a question of whether a plaintiff could sue the city for wrongly targeting him with an arrest warrant, even though that warrant was quickly withdrawn. The case was dismissed by a district court judge who found that the man, Robert Ord, lacked standing. Ord's attorney, Matthew LaFonde, told the three-judge panel on Friday that upholding the lower court's ruling would give the district unchecked authority to issue warrants without probable cause. That's really why the show was removed, was because of the lack of probable cause. Okay? So, I don't think the court wants to advocate that position, said the attorney. Ord sued the district in 2008 after the police issued, then rescinded an arrest warrant claiming he illegally carried firearms into the city. A Virginia resident, Ord ran a private security company that was designated a special conservator of the peace, and that alone should have given him the right to carry his weapons in Washington, where he had significant amount of business, he argued. In his suit, he claimed that he could no longer work in Washington because he feared the city might try to arrest him again. He also argued that police had violated the Fourth Amendment, which states, "No warrants shall issue but upon probable cause." The city countered that because Ord had never been arrested, he had not suffered any harm, and the court could not grant any relief. Both the Second Amendment Foundation and the American Civil Liberties Union of the National Capital Area signed an amicus brief supporting Ord's appeal, which the BLT covered. Friday morning, the city represented by D.C. Solicitor General Todd Kim continued to argue that Ord had not been harmed by the warrant and had lacked a constitutional claim. "We think he has a Fourth Amendment claim without a search or seizure," Kim told the panel, which includes Judge Judith Rogers, Janice Rogers Brown, and David Tatel. Tatel seemed largely skeptical of the district's opinion, pointedly asking why the case wasn't being argued on its merits. "What do you do with the Fourth Amendment, which says no warrant shall be issued?" Tatel asked. "Have you read it in context?" Kim asked. In his rebuttal, LaFontaine later dismissed that argument. "The district wants to parse the Fourth Amendment the way it once parsed the Second Amendment," he said, referring to the city's failed legal battle to defend its restrictive gun laws. So essentially what we've got here is a hasty arrest warrant that was filled out, and someone somewhere along the line approved it. And within approving it, it was never actually issued. It was then later rescinded. How this guy Ord found out about it, I don't know. I'm really not sure how he found out about it. However, it's one of these deals where if it could be issued, if it was issued, it would then be in violation of the Fourth Amendment, which is entirely where Robert Ord is coming from. Look, it was issued. Whether it's rescinded or not, it was issued in violation of the Fourth Amendment, which means the policies, practices, and procedures of Washington, D.C. within their law enforcement when it comes to issuing warrants is somewhere they're incurred an unconstitutional act. You're not following the rule of law here in D.C., so that's why he's suing over it. Something needs to be done. There needs to be some checks and balances. Now, I told you a story on Friday of a Las Vegas Metro police officer that had a taser. He was questioning a suspect. The suspect decided to leave. So he tased the suspect twice. The suspect ended up getting the taser away from the cop and leaving. The cop shot him in the back. Now, the cop that did the shooting claims, that the suspect turned around with the taser and pointed it at the cop, so he felt the need to shoot the suspect, which is in contradiction to the partner of this particular detective and the other four witnesses that were there. So five other people said, no, he didn't turn around. The cop that shot him, of course, oh, yeah, he turned around. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been justified, right? In a similar sort of instance when it comes to taser versus gun, and this starting to make a precedent now, in just outside of Memphis, Tennessee, a bad guy goes into the local Stab and Grab and pulls a taser out and tases the clerk behind the counter in an effort to rob him. And evidently, what happened was the clerk pulled a gun out and shot and killed the bad guy. So taser versus gun, which one would you rather have? They call it less lethal or less than lethal. So I have to ask you, if a cop brings a taser into the situation, if a cop brings a gun into a situation where the suspect has no gun and the suspect gets the gun away, it's now a lethal force deal. If the cop brings a taser into a situation and the suspect ends up coming into control of the taser, does this now turn into a lethal force situation? If tasers are supposed to be less than lethal, how can a cop legitimately and legally respond by shooting the guy with his gun? How is that articulable? How is it not defendable then? If that's the case, how is it not defendable if a bad guy has a taser and shoots a good guy with it? The good guy can pull a gun out and shoot him. So we're starting to see a little precedent here. I'd like to see where this irons out over the next few cases, which will probably come over the next few months. So we'll see. Emails on Friday's show, dealing with the whole thing with the lawsuit. He says, have to disagree with your tirade on God Bless America flap at the ballgame. This is not the national anthem. It's just another song. There's no need to stand or do anything exceptional during its playing. By the Yankees or any other organization pushing people for not bowing to their will, for not following the leaders, is the same thing you rail against with Obama worship or penalty for speaking out against Bush, etc. It's not bad parenting. It's the stand-up for your rights you profess all during your show. This would be something you support. This would be something you're supporting, not degenerating. See, give you a 100 on the rest of your show, but an F on this subject. Related story on this link for Good in America, God in America, blah, blah, blah. I went to the link, and I thought that the link in this nobeliefs.com was an absolute farce. Keep up the good work, Dave. Dave, thanks for the email on that. Again, this is the sort of thing that makes America great. So what I'm going to do now, if I can do this efficiently enough, is pull up my response to Dave. I'm sorry, not Dave. It's Dan. My apologies. No, it is Dave. Wrong email. Sorry, guys. I'm floating through my email here. Dave, here we go. Dave, to each his own, I am a patriot of the original cast. I do things such as pledge allegiance to our flag, the symbol of free and sovereign American citizens. I stand for the national anthem and God Bless America. And I punch people in the mouth for bad-mouthing this country because the First Amendment applies to citizens addressing the government, not other citizens. Baseball is the great national pastime, and everyone who goes to a baseball game or any other major sporting event understands there's a patriotic moment or two and flying and the flag is flying. Now, I realize that America today isn't what it was just two generations ago, but I don't agree with everyone's right to be a disrespectful jackass within the company of many who are otherwise exercising traditional American values. I honor your opinion, however I disagree with it. Thanks for listening and your email. It's conversations like this that made the U.S. a great nation, Bill. So there is just one of the emails on that. I am going to go back and try and grab this other one that was actually in support of my tirade, as it were called, on the subject. And let me see here. This is to a fellow by the name of Dan. Dan writes, Bill, a buddy just turned me on to your show. I just listened today for the first time. And he says, just my luck, it was a rerun. Evidently didn't hear that properly. I was talking about the day before. Anyway, you were speaking about the lawsuit where the kids were suing one of the dads, were the kids suing with one of the dads as the attorney because the kids were supposedly ejected from a stadium for not standing up during God Bless America. I agree with everything you said about the case, the boys, how the example being set for them by their parents is what is killing our society, etc. However, during the segment, you spoke about the New York Yankees settling a lawsuit for the same sort of issue, which caused me to realize, once again, how we are responsible for this sort of sue-to-intimidate mentality as well. Every time we settle some stupid suit to avoid court, instead of making them work for every dime they get. I firmly believe if we went to trial with every one of these suits, fought the suit as hard as possible, used every appeal available to us in every case of loss, then made it as hard as possible to collect the money, even if we lose, in the end, most of these suits would evaporate. In other words, stand up to the bullies. Let's face it, bullies don't want a fight that they want to admit where they will administer a beating. Let me read that again. Let's face it. Bullies don't want a fight. They want to administer a beating. There we go. It holds true if you write a sentence thus. Tort attorneys don't want to be in court. They want to pick your pocket. With that in mind, every time we cave in, just in case we get a bad verdict, we are encouraging this behavior. So until we get the balls to stand up to the bullies, we are destined to continue allowing ourselves to be bullied. A good example of this is the tobacco industry. They fight every lawsuit, and they are still profitable. I don't know if it's still the case, but Mooney Aircraft Company used to not carry liability insurance. If you sued them over one of their aircraft, you'd better be in it for the long haul, and you'd better be able to prove that it was the fault of Mooney, or you're not going to get a dime. Dan. Here's my response to Dan. I thought that was a well-written letter. Dan, turn that frown upside down. Today's show was live. Yesterday was a rerun. That lawsuit that was filed in New Jersey happened just last week. Setting his mind at ease. Okay, I completely agree with you. However, the thing that completely sucks is that most major corporations have a minimum that they need to be sued over before they'll even fight it. It's just more economical that way. However, you must admit that fighting for a few of these senseless lawsuits and winning would tend to diminish the sheer number of lawsuits filed against any one entity. I understand Walmart has something like a $50,000 limit before they'll fight. If you have a minimum of evidence to your case, they'll simply cut you a check so you'll go away because that costs them less. And the really crappy part about this is that there are some attorneys that make a living by specializing in suing corporations under their minimum and just continue to cash in. It's funny that you agree with me so much on this topic. The email just before yours was in support of the scumbags who filed the lawsuit, thus completely disagreeing with me. This is what helped to make this country great. Welcome to the family. Appreciate your listenership, Bill. So, again, just a couple of the emails that came in regarding the show on Friday. And I was very happy to actually see the far ends of the opinions of the audience. I've actually had the discussions with Dave Champion before that the RBN audience is quite honestly one of the most intelligent audiences out there, one of the most well-informed audiences out there. So when we deal with these rather intricate topics, such as the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, and everybody's able to stay together on topic, and oftentimes, I mean, I'm just the mouthpiece, oftentimes I get great emails or phone calls helping to give me even additional information that I don't have on it, which is excellent. When I have these sort of conversations out in public or with friends or acquaintances, oftentimes they just gloss over. It's almost as though you're listening to the teacher in the Peanuts, Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, they just don't get it. Or they look at me like, why do you care? Come on, man, let's go grab a beer and smoke a cigar. You know, which is exactly the sort of lunkhead acceptance, just the blind acceptance of government, be it law enforcement, legislative, judicial, getting in the face of the average American and them not really knowing or even caring about what's going on. That's why it leaves it up to patriots, like those in the audience, like those of us who are hosts, the entire RBN family, patriots, to really lead this movement. During the Revolutionary War, there's only 3% of the population that actually got up and fought against the British. 3 out of 100. That was it. And I'd venture to say that right now, it's probably about the same, about 3, 4, maybe 5 out of 100 that even really recognize what's going on in this country, that even pay attention to what's really going on in this country, that don't just buy the mindless drivel coming out of the mainstream media, that don't just buy and succumb to the mindless drivel coming out of the White House mouth. We actually understand that this country was formed with a contract known as the Constitution. And this contract can be abridged and changed through the form of amendments, but it takes quite a bit. And there's a couple of amendments we've been railroaded on, because back in the day, we were asleep at the wheel. Now, many more of us are awake at the wheel. Unfortunately, far, far, far too many are still asleep at the wheel, and they are too ignorant to understand what's going on, because they really never learned about the Constitution or the relationship of the people and our government servants. Let's keep educating. Stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam taught him to shoot me.
I'm not sure out there in the audience how many of you might be bench rest shooters. Now, bench rest shooting is it's a competition where you take your finest long gun and your best ammo. Generally, the ammo that bench rest shooters are going to be shooting are all premier and precisely hand loaded. Artwork sort of reloading, customized to the gun. And they shoot at anywhere from, a few hundred out to 1,000 yards and beyond. I happen to have a bench rest gun. I've never even fired it. A good friend of mine, I bought it from him about, 15 months ago or so. He was having some trouble. He needed to move, and he needed a few bucks, and this is the last gun he had. It was from his dad. His dad had passed away, I guess, about 5 years ago now. A guy by the name of Gordon Adams. And Gordon had this gun custom built. He was a big-time bench rest shooter, had been for a very long time. It's a Savage, and it is chambered in an incredibly aerodynamic round called a 6.5 by 25 odd 6. And Gordon won 4 different bench rest competitions with this gun before he had yet another gun built. He was constantly having these guns built. This was the second to last gun he ever had. The last gun he ever had, he ended up winning some bench rest competitions with as well. However, this one, it is a long stainless barrel, and it's got the laminated stock, fully floated, all this good stuff. And this is a supremely accurate bench rest gun. I bought it for my friend as a favor so he could have the money to move back to Utah, where he was here in Las Vegas, and just one thing led to another, he moved back. So I have absolutely no need or use for this gun. If anybody out there happens to have an interest in bench rest shooting, this gun has already won 4 regional competitions, all of them out of the Rifle and Pistol Club outside of Tucson, Arizona, where Gordon used to go down and shoot. It was the biggest one in the region, so that's where he would drive monthly down to Tucson and shoot these competitions. And he won 4 of the trophies in roughly the 6 months that he shot this gun. It has something like 700 rounds through it, so not a bunch. Unfortunately, I don't have any of the dies or the loading data. If anybody happens to have any interest in this bench rest gun, it is a beautiful gun. It is a winning gun, and I hate to see the thing just hanging out at my house when I'm never going to use it. It'll never get shot again if I continue to hold on to it. So I figure if somebody out there is interested in a solid bench rest gun, maybe you could put this thing to use, because a gun that goes unfired is no good at all. Even a gun that's a presentation piece is something I would at least shoot a few times and then clean it and put it back on the wall. But it should get shot. So if anybody's interested, please email me. It's bill@2aradio.com. By the way, the radio website has had a few issues here and there. Late last week, I had my host move it to another hosting company. So hopefully we can eliminate the downtime that's been on the sites. So you should feel free to be able to go on there and get archives uninterrupted. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thanks for staying tuned. I'll be back tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.